The Hilltop Glove Podcast is sponsored by Mid-Carolina Service Company.
Mid-Carolina Service Company is the first name to search for your residential or commercial HVAC needs in Lexington and surrounding areas.
Just go holler at Jason and Clint. They'll hook you up on the air conditioners, on the restaurant equipment, refrigerators, refrigeration, ice machine repair. They've been doing this for years. I know them cats forever.
Family owned and operated since 2006, they pride themselves in their quality work and customer relationships. Call 803-356-4153 or visit midcarolinaserviceco.com for no obligation quote for service today. This episode of Hilltop Glove Podcast is brought to you by the Simon Marketing Agency. Turn an ordinary business into an extraordinary one since 2020. Simon James and his team do the hard work of attracting new customers so you can focus on making your business exceptional. As a brand marketing expert, Simon specializes in creating a unique and unforgettable identity for your business. From generating awareness to captivating content creation and strategic advertising, Simon Marketing Agency has you covered. Elevate your business today. Give them a call at 843-942-8880 or email them at simon@smasimon.com. Visit them at www.simonmarketing.agency. Make sure to follow them on Instagram at BrandSimonTV.
This episode of the Hilltop Glove Podcast is sponsored by Bob's. Bob's is a Columbia-based retailer of over 100 Black-owned products from 20 Black-owned businesses. Bob's offers a wide range of items from household cleaning, cosmetics, and everything in between. With every visit to Bob's, you support the Black-owned businesses, giving them the opportunity to grow and establish connections with our community. Bob's is located inside the Noma Warehouse at 2222 Sumter Street in Columbia, South Carolina. Visit their website, WeShopBops.com, for in-store pickup or to find out more. Bops can also be found via social media on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at WeShopBops. When you stop by, tell them the Hilltop Glove sent you. Bops brings quality Black brands to the Columbia community. The Hilltop Glove Podcast is sponsored by True Brilliance Entertainment.
True Brilliance is a production, promotions, and management company dedicated to connecting artists and producers across the Carolinas to music industry professionals.
Several of their clients have placements both domestic and internationally as a result of their services.
Are you an artist or producer looking to build meaningful relationships within the music industry? Then True Brilliance is for you. Check them out at paramilitary.com. That's spelled P-A-I-R-A military.com.
Welcome to the Hilltop Glove Podcast.
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 The Hilltop Glove Podcast. Welcome back to another episode of the Hilltop Glove Podcast. I'm still shocked that we're on season 4.
Yes.
So today we have the pleasure of speaking with Miss Janet Parker. Janet is an executive producer, motivational speaker, influencer, and media guru. With years of experience in broadcast industry, Janet is a skilled journalist and newsroom leader with expertise in mass media, producing, writing, and management. She is the graduate of University of South Carolina, where she obtained her Bachelor's of Arts in Mass Communication and Journalism in 2008. Janet's contributions to the city of Columbia actually got her an award.
Yeah.
February 23rd in 2018 was declared Janet Parker Day by the city of Columbia and Mayor Steve Benjamin. Currently, she is the executive producer for Charlotte's Queen City News, where she collaborates with anchors, reporters, producers, writers, assignment editors, and photographers. And she ensures that the cast is highly, she ensures that the newscasts are highly produced, the teasers are strong, and the content matches the station's brand. Janet's expertise in journalism has led her to hold positions such as a senior news producer and evening news anchor for Watch Fox in Columbia, correct?
Okay. Yeah, I remember that.
Columbia to Charlotte, okay. Uh-huh. She reviews news scripts, ensures accuracy, fairness, and ethical journalism. She also produces daily newscasts and is involved in recruiting new producers. You do a lot. I hope they paying you. I hope you getting paid.
Compensation.
I hope. Well, we are definitely thrilled to have you here.
Yay.
Thank you for being here.
Glad to be here.
How are you today?
Definitely. I'm feeling good. It's Saturday. You know, a little feel of fall is in the air. So, yeah.
Great weather.
It is great weather.
Off I'm work. You're not.
No working.
No working.
Nice.
So I choose to.
So we're familiar with you, but our audience isn't. So can you tell us a little bit about your upbringing and where are you from? Okay. Have any brothers or sisters?
So I'm from a little small town of Sherrill, South Carolina. Prettiest town in Dixie. Yes, that's a thing. Google it. Okay. But yes, I was raised there and I have one older brother. I was raised by a single mom. I went to USC, like you mentioned, in Columbia.
Go Gamecocks.
Go Gamecocks. Yes. And was there for like 10 years before coming to Charlotte. But that's kind of like my childhood, very humble, you know, beginnings. But I knew that Sherrill was not it. Like, I wanted to leave.
Crazy. No hard feelings,
I wanted to leave.
Columbia is not it.
Right?
She's in Charlotte.
Columbia's not
I
it.
Did I'm like, just saying.
Listen, Columbia will always be like a second home to me, though. Like, for real. Because that's where.
Launching pad.
Yeah. You know, that's where kind of Janet Parker to be. So that's second home. Hometown is Sherrill, but Columbia is for sure second home.
I didn't know you had your own day.
Yes.
First of all, like, that's big.
That's own day. That's even people in my newsroom here in Charlotte, they're like when I came there, they were like, y'all, she has her own day, okay? Like, she's, and I'm like, y'all.
She's a fish.
No, I was like, but
I wish we could have dropped this episode on her day, but that's just too late. That's just too late in the year.
That would be cool, though.
That would.
We will bring you back up, though.
Oh, I'm fine with that. All right. That's cool. No, that was very special. I had no idea that that was going to happen.
They did that. How were you notified of it?
Like, so my co-anchor, well, one of my former co-anchor at the time, Friendy Clairvaux, who's still at Watchbox. Shout out to Friendy. He orchestrated all of that. I really had no idea. Like, I was just told that I was going to, like, he wanted to take me to, like, lunch or dinner before I left, like, the city
or
whatever.
So he faked it and like, tricked you.
I walked in and it was, like, my mom, my brother, my best friends, like, mentors throughout my, you know, like.
Did you cry?
Oh, I cried. I ugly cried. Yeah. I cried like a baby, y'all. Like, and then I see the mayor. I see Tamika Isaac-Devine. Yes. Like, because I always, to this day, I'm like, you're still my councilwoman.
Yes. True.
And yeah, and then the mayor started, you know, like, reading this declaration. And I was just like, oh, this is a lot.
How does it feel, like, hearing all your accolades and, like, the previous work you've done? Especially with me saying your bio. Yeah. How does that feel?
Every time, I'm just like, I did all that for real, like, when? But there was a point, like, in my career, though, like, in my 20s, where I was grinding. Like, public speaking here, going to schools here, like, anything needed to be done, I was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess now, fast forward, I'm in my late 30s. Still can't believe that. That's still young.
You're still young. We'll play with it.
I can't believe I did it, but I'm so proud just, like, of myself.
Mm-hmm.
One of the days I'll always remember is, like, when I graduated from college. And I'll never forget, like, apparently my mom had to, like, leave the arena once I walked across because she was so emotional.
Wow.
And so after graduation, like, I went out to her and I cried and I was like, we did it.
Aww.
So knowing, like, myself and my brother, just what we've achieved, like, it's amazing. Because she always says, like, we're the best things that she's ever done.
Aww.
Man.
Yeah.
I like that you said that you put in work in your 20s, because a lot of people, they think it's going to happen like that. It's like, no, you got to grind first.
Yeah. You do.
Fruition. And, you know.
You do. I mean, when I graduated, I did not. It was a very different time in the news world.
Like, yeah.
I didn't have a job lined up. You know, I did intern when I was in college. Thank God I did.
Where at?
At Watchbox.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had to ask so they could see the correlation.
Mm-hmm. I interned there, and the news director at the time, Barbara Bethay, I always will credit her to, you know, basically giving me a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And there were no positions open. Like, she called me one day and was like, we're working on, like, an interview. Like, would you come in and just help out?
Yeah,
I was like, sure. You know, I was like, because any foot in the door is a foot in the door. Right. All I need to do is get in the door, you know, just get me in the door. So I did. And, you know, the day went by, I helped whatever left. And then she called me like a couple weeks later. And she was like, I think there was a misunderstanding. Like, we want to give you a job. Oh. Like, we didn't want you to just come and help for the day. Like, she's like, I don't have anything permanent, but
got a part-time
morning associate producer position. And I said yes. And
so what does it actually take to be a news producer?
So it takes a lot of attention to detail. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to be a news sponge. You need to be very plugged in. You need to know what's going on in the world. It's detail oriented. So you're building, you know, when you turn on the news, someone has spent hours throughout the day gathering those stories, orchestrating them in a way that they flow, that they make sense. You need to be able to write, obviously. Yes. You need to have solid news judgment, you know, what's important, what matters to people.
Like what's pressing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. What impacts people's lives? You know, why should I care? I don't want to curse on here, but I had a news director who said, what's the gas factor? What's the give a
factor?
You know, what's the gas of this story? So you have to come to every day with that thought process.
Is it hard being on, you know, TV, the whole world watching you, or the city, you know, is it?
Oh, there's pressure. There's definitely pressure. And not just as, you know, you're being on air, but I'm a minority on air. I'm a plus size woman. You know, there's definite pressure because sometimes people forget that you're still human.
Yeah.
You're not perfect. Yes, I went to school for this. Yes, I get paid to do this, but I make mistakes, you know, and I'm still Janet at the end of the day. So there's some pressure for sure. And then when you see people out from, you know, my anchor days, and I try to be the same person, like on camera, off camera, whatever. There are times when, you know, I just want to be
you,
me, you know, and sometimes people don't understand, like, just like you have a bad day, I might be having a bad day, you know, and I'm not going to be all peaches, roses. Let's, you know, so give people grace.
I like the way you said that.
Yeah. Good, man. So I know we have our social media nowadays. Mm-hmm. You work in the actual news media. You talked about knowing what type of stories are important to the actual viewers, and the things that are actually going to drive them to actually coming to you for information. As an executive producer, of course, you help tell stories that are relatable and engaging. What are some of the tips or tricks that you have learned over the years of producing to bring those stories to people?
So always read everything. Like, I'm social media, print media, everything could be a possible story idea.
Okay.
Just conversations with people, ask questions. I'm a naturally inquisitive person. Like, my friends will say, like, you want to find out anything, she going to find out, you know?
Yeah.
But just having that inquisitive mind, like, any conversation, meet and greet can turn into a story. Like, it's always, everything's networking for me, but I'm networking for content, but also for the community, for viewers. Because if it's a story, that's information that I'm bringing the community.
Do you have to do that I guess this is a good question to bring up at this point. Is that a day-to-day life thing? Is that like an event that is daily in your life, or is it happenstance?
I think it's just natural. I think journalists we are just naturally, like, it's just ingrained in us that when we're talking to people, like, and some people in certain industries are like, oh, that's right, you're a reporter, so you're fishing, you know?
Oh, that's what I was wondering. And that's why, like, I asked that, yeah.
Yes and no, you know, I'm not necessarily just engaging in conversation with you for work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I am very interested by nature, so it just happens. It's part of our fabric.
So what is a mistake that you've made? Big or small, like... while producing or being on air.
To make our audience feel comfortable about making mistakes.
I'm trying to think. I mean, remember I said attention to detail.
Yeah.
The small things matter, especially when you're talking about news, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess a motto that I like to live by that has probably come from a mistake. I'm not going to say that I necessarily made it, but I'd rather be second and right than first and wrong.
Thank you.
Especially when you're dealing with sensitive information. Like, you're talking about death, you know, your age, sex, description of a suspect. Like, I'd rather hold off and make sure I have that information right than have to go on air, be wrong, and then later have to come back and retract information.
Mm.
I'd never want to do that. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure there's times in my early days of my career that I probably went with some information that I didn't really feel 100%, you know, good about. But now I've got some, you know, legwork in the game, you know, like I would not do that. Like I just had a conversation with a morning senior producer a couple days ago. He was like, I've got an editorial question. I was like, what's up? And he was like, we kind of ran with a description of a suspect. It's like, I wasn't really comfortable with it. He was like, but we went with it anyway. And he told me, you know, it was like the suspect was 5'8", black male, 155 pounds. I was like, okay, so you just got just about every black man.
Everybody, you know what I mean, in Charlotte.
If there's no distinct, you know, does he have a tattoo on his neck, you know, that says love or something? I was like, there's no reason to put that description out there. He was like, that's what I thought. He was like, you know, the next hour we didn't do it. I was like, go with your gut in situations like that. Like, if you feel hesitant about something like that, don't be afraid to be like, you know what? No, let's hold off. Because I would much rather hold off and be right when we do go with it than go with it and be wrong.
Yeah, because you take one little bit of information.
Right. And run with it. Anything could happen. Yeah. Like, oh, he's 5'8", he's black. You know, is that, you know, like, just got to be careful.
So question, do you see that as an issue that folks who are starting out in the profession that they're almost geared to make if they're seeking to get ahead? Are there times where they're like, you know what, if I go ahead and I'm the first to hit this story, it could push me up. So I'm going to go ahead and make this chance.
Unfortunately, I think you probably do see that because people are like, we were the first, or I was the first to bring this in.
Yeah.
And it's like, but is that what you want to be known for, just being first though? Or do you want to be known for bringing like quality journalism, you know, doing accurate good journalism, accurate information? Because, you know, I love to tell people, you only get one time to make a first impression. A lot of times, especially in TV, and Charlotte is a very transplant type city. You have a new person here, they come in, they watch us one day. Let's say we go with some information. That's their first time seeing us. So they say, oh, I kind of like it. Next day, they tune in and we're on air saying, oh, we've got to retract some information that we gave you yesterday. It was actually wrong.
What do you even say?
You know, like, it's hard, man.
You'd have to say, like, you know, we want to bring you an update to a story we brought you yesterday.
Okay, they just we've say we actually bring an learned update. Okay.
That, you know. You don't want to lose that viewer just because you were, quick. You know, trigger happy.
End up like Brian Williams. Or that brother from the Washington Post. I ain't going to say no names. But yeah, they trying to break stories.
He just said the names.
My fault, I didn't say the other guy's name.
He didn't say the other guy's name.
Because I'm trying to be nice to him.
Brian
Williams, no, he was wrong. He wasn't even nowhere near the time when the thing occurred.
Or nowhere around.
So he was in the helicopter. No, you weren't there. Yeah, but
secondhand. You have to be careful with secondhand information. Yep. In the world of social media, everything's all, you know, Instagram. You got to verify.
And could you speak about how that is important for people, not who are producing the news, but just for folks who are taking in the
news, observing it.
Yeah, actually.
Yes, because even my mom, Lord knows, I love her to death. But that woman will send me 8 million TikToks, like,
I figure,
every day. And I'm like, she's like, y'all aren't talking about the real stories. These are the real stories. And I'm like, Mom, what's the source of the information that this person is giving you on TikTok? Is it reputable? Mm. You know, like, there are reputable sources out there, especially when you're talking about things like the economy. You know, like, people have their theories and all this, but you've got to vet stuff. And please, before you know, there's a lot, we call it clickbait. A great headline, want to draw you in, they want you to click. But before you go and share the story, actually click and read the story, read what's in the article.
The black and white of it needs to be paid attention to on the page.
Like, y'all, we all follow the Shade Room, but just click the story, actually read the information.
Because I know having like good consumers of media actually allows for the producers of it to make better product as
Correct.
Well. And I don't think that the consumers sometimes, they don't understand the power that they have in the market to actually push and drive for a better product.
Very much
but
so.
Also getting better source materials too.
Yes.
And they don't realize that when they allow for that bad stuff to fall in and make money, then it continues a avalanche.
It does. And then it makes it hard for operations like ours.
There you go.
Right? Yeah. They're like, well, how should we trust you if I'm seeing this over here? And it's like, you have a point,
you know?
Then we have to work harder to make sure that we're reputable and we're going to do our research and we're going to dig.
Yeah.
Millennials must be like FBI, like really digging for information. Like, do you have any research? Or... Mm-hmm. So going into social media and being an influencer, mm-hmm. how does it feel being in the spotlight? So many Americans in the spotlight, in the daily television, just like looking at you.
Yeah, I was looking at you.
Critiquing you, observing you, giving their opinion yeah. when it's not needed.
Don't they know?
Yeah.
No, listen.
Oh. How do you handle
all
of that?
Have them. Yeah. Well, I have to remind myself that everybody's going to have an opinion of me.
And yeah.
Whatever, right? But the only opinion that matters is what I think.
Right.
Of me, right? True. Like, and because somebody feels a certain way doesn't mean that their feelings are valid. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean their feelings are fact, though. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like that so, point. Yes, they could be valid.
They could be feelings, valid. You feel what you feel because yes. you're having it.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean they're based on fact.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, what you feel about me is that's you. They don't have anything to do with me. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult. But I, again, that grace, I move with grace and let, you know, I understand people are people and people are gonna people.
So has it?
No, that's one of my favorite.
People are gonna people.
Yeah, you can't stop them.
But having this job, has it benefited you in some way or been harmful in any way?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I've met so many people and I've had so many opportunities. Like, again, I'm from Sherrill, South Carolina. In 2013, I went to LA to cover American Idol. That was the year that Candace Glover won.
Oh, wow.
Never in a million years what I would think.
Yeah.
One, going to Los Angeles, and then two, to cover the new, winner. You know, and mm-hmm. be on air reporting mm-hmm. live from Los Angeles. And then not only, like, it opened doors for other things because that actually happened on Mother's Day weekend. So my brother and I split a ticket so that my mom could come with me.
Aww.
So she got to experience all of that with me. So, like, that's
She's
just
proud.
For sure. But that's just one thing that this career has allowed me to do. Yeah. So. Very beneficial. But the harm.
Mm-hmm. Balance.
It's there. Like the first two or three years of my career, I never wore skirts on air. Like I wore pants mm-hmm. every single day. It's pants. Because I wasn't completely comfortable yet with myself, like my size, my look, whatever. And viewers would light me up. I mean, you get those emails. To this day, I'm like, I have never in my 37 years of living thought to email a news station.
Right.
Yeah.
And
give my opinion on anything. I don't like what she's wearing today.
Oh,
like,
you would be surprised.
Really?
So it exists. It happens. But you have to
roll with the punches.
Yeah, you have to let that stuff roll off of you.
So how do you manage your lifestyle of being an influencer and promoting body positivity?
Mm-hmm. So I'm really big on just allowing women to know, like, to love themselves as themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You are fine just the way you are. I actually just got a message last night for somebody and it was, I don't know her, you know, she just messaged me and she's like, I just want you to know that because of you, like, I am way more confident in who I am and my body, you know, like, I've never used to be like that. You know, the clothes that you wear, like, I find myself wearing them. She's like, I want you to know, though, it is specifically because I've been following you and seeing you. So I think it's just important for me to be unapologetically me,
because
I will always be that. And showing up as myself gives other people permission to do the same.
Yeah.
For sure.
I love that.
I like
that. I got chills just now.
Yes, showing up as yourself.
Yeah, show up as you.
Yes.
Like, here's my thing, right?
I think that's the theme for today.
If God took so much time mm-hmm. creating you to be who you are, how dare you try and be somebody else?
Yeah.
So you're saying he wasted his time?
Yeah.
Making you special?
How dare you?
You.
Doubt yourself.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, so I'm bringing this to you.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm not saying that, God, you didn't do a good job. I want to be this person.
Right.
Nah.
We're not doing that. We're not going
to
go there.
Yeah,
we're not doing that. Yeah. We owning this.
So a lot of people don't know that we actually did a short film together.
Yay!
And it's going to come out soon.
I'm so excited about it.
So talk a little bit more about the short film, She Pours.
She Pours. I loved it because my role, matter of fact, mm-hmm. was like a reporter anchor and just plus size and talking about like the struggles of, you know, trying to fight for my place in the workspace while mm-hmm. also owning who I am in my body. So I thought it was just amazing.
It was
great
just
opportunity.
Perfect,
it was.
Perfect pick.
Man.
Yeah.
You like,
get
script,
I get to get it first.
You
I get to view it first. I get
We're having a viewing at Spotlight Cinemas.
Yes, we are.
But November, I don't know the date, but I know it's in
November.
It's
a Saturday.
So I'll let you guys know.
Saturday, okay. Please.
But yeah.
Yeah. It's a Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Oh, mm-hmm. Perfect.
But no, it was great because the script, I didn't even really have to change a lot. Right. I was like, this is legit my life.
Yeah.
Like, this was my life.
One for one.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
Y'all doing stuff behind the scenes.
Y'all don't know, but women doing things in 2023.
We're taking up all the space.
Yep. No, y'all have, yeah, look, all women in 2023, y'all have filled up the space. Specifically black women, y'all have done an excellent job. You all have put together in front of folks too, some really dynamic individuals. I'm telling black women, y'all did y'all job this year. We needed it because I'm not going to lie, some of those fellas, we was looking bad.
Uh-oh.
Like a real bad issue.
You gotta keep y'all on y'all toes.
Right. Yeah, no, seriously.
Somebody
gotta
save culture.
Yeah. Because we were letting this thing crash and burn.
True.
Yeah, so I'm happy y'all stepped in this year. Very happy. I know, man, gosh, you messed me up with that. I want to watch this thing
now.
Yeah.
Good.
So, of course, we ask everybody this question. Mm-hmm. This is a common question for us. We have to ask you about your work life balance. We did list all this crazy stuff at the beginning that you do. And so for other millennials.
Yeah, why y'all reminded me of that on a Saturday?
Yeah. For millennials, a lot of us don't understand the possibilities that we can have if we're able just to put a little discipline in and then use time management.
Sure.
Explain to our audience what your work-life balance looks like and how do you manage to stay mentally and physically healthy?
So I prioritize me.
Mm.
I didn't used to do that. Mm. I don't think a lot of us used to do that, right?
Yeah.
When we were younger, it was just, I got to go get it. I'm doing everything. And then it's like, whatever's left is what I get myself. And that creates burnout.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to get up and keep doing that every day? So now I prioritize me. In the morning, I'm taking my time to get ready. I'm having my moment with God. I'm meditating. You know, I'm not rushing last minute just to get up and go and get to work. No.
Mm-hmm.
Work, you get me once I'm
mm-hmm.
to get to work, you know what I mean? Like, so it's not just the ground running every day. It's taking a moment for me. It's working. It's on a Saturday. If I'm like, nah, I'm going to just sleep in.
Yeah.
You know, like, I could go out and I could brunch and I could Sunday fun day. And sometimes I do that. Don't get me wrong. But every now and then I'm just like, you know, I'm not feeling that today. Yeah. I'm going to just put me first. I'm going to prioritize me. I think we need to do more of that. Like, we are so driven as millennials. And I grant, you know, I think there's two groups of millennials, but
you can match them.
There's that, you know, very driven, got it out the mud, you know, millennial group. We want so much because we saw our parents struggle and we don't want to go through that.
Yeah.
But if we don't prioritize ourselves, we're not going to be around long enough, mm-hmm. you know, to have everything we're working for. Honestly.
Top of gas.
You know what I'm saying?
What kind of gas you put in your system?
Like,
there is a thread through this whole
conversation.
You're
going to run out. You're going to deplete. You've got to take care of you.
So how do you manage yourself mentally and physically? You know, do you work out?
I know I heard meditation.
I do. Yeah, meditation. I've started incorporating yoga more so. Like, The gym is not going to be my friend. Like,
but you know you're being real with yourself.
Like, that's just not going to be my ministry.
Yeah.
I've tried, been there. Mm-hmm. But, like, yoga really has helped me. Like, it centers me, the stretching. Like, it's just a great time that I spend with myself.
Don't get me started on yoga. I was up. I was up three in the morning. My body said stretch. I did a split at 3 a.m. and got back into bed.
Good Lord.
Because when your body tells you something, you got
to
do it.
You need to listen.
And
you
it's
gotta
like,
respond.
What did he say in the interview before? You got to honor yourself.
Right.
The more times you don't honor yourself is
detrimental.
Yeah.
You pay for it
later on. Yeah.
Like, loving myself, that's what loving myself looks like. It looks like taking a little time to stretch, do a little yoga, meditate.
Breathe.
I'm a writer. Obviously, I'm a journalist. So journaling is very big
for
me.
You still journal?
Oh, my gosh.
She probably got like 10 books.
I'm hearing it, though, because I tell people, like, it's still something you could do. And they look at me like, well, I journal.
I color.
Oh, yeah.
I do all of that.
Coloring is great.
That gets
for anxiety.
Yes.
That childlike activity of nature, it comes back. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And cooking. Cooking is so therapeutic for me.
What's your favorite? Not what your favorite is. What are you best at cooking? Who tells you? Like, some people say, you make this so
well. My grits. Lord knows. My best friend's like, you making your grits? Like, how you make your grits? And I'm like, yes, bestie, I'm making my grits. Yeah, my grits. Everybody loves my grits. And my sweet potato pies, Parker pies.
Parker Pies.
Name for it? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we got to get good friends with Miss Parker so we could get some Parker pies.
Yeah, I have a whole little hashtag Parker plates. It's a thing.
This is a thing.
Oh, yeah. Wait.
You have to go find you on social media and see all your hashtags.
I'm already on there.
Parker plates is a thing.
You got Parker plate. That's what I want.
So we know you're being an influencer and everything. Mm-hmm. What current projects are you working on right now? And what can we expect from you in the future?
That's a good segue. So future, I do actually have a cookbook that I want to put out.
Oh, wow.
Specifically for the curvy girls.
Okay.
Not really. I mean, anybody can. It's recipes. Yeah. So yeah. But I don't want to give the title away. This Curvy Girls is involved.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, a cookbook and then actual about like my life and evolution of me. And I started it like January 1st, 2022. Mm-hmm. And I was writing. And then I came to a wall and I was like, now why can't I get this part? And it actually, I got to the part where I started talking about my career. And at that time I was out of TV for a little while. And I'm like, okay, God, so you needed me to stop. Because my career's still doing its thing, and now I'm back in news. So I'll pick that back up and finish that. The book and the cookbook are coming. Working on right now, I'm just modeling for different, you know, small entrepreneurs and brands who are focused on women, body positivity, for sure.
Excellent. Now I got to ask you real quick before we move about that, about your book. Is it autobiographical or do you have somebody writing it?
I'm writing it.
Okay.
Yeah, because you're really, who you say you are, all right?
Oh, yeah, I'm writing it. I could never.
Excellent.
I'm a journalist.
I had to give somebody else my
you're
pen.
You're so tired. You're like, you know what? I don't want to do it myself.
No.
Let me let somebody else. Okay.
This is going to history.
Yeah.
Leaving her stamp. I'm writing my own story.
Yeah. You know when you read something and you feel what the person, I need people to feel
what you're saying.
What I'm saying. Yeah. It's got to be me.
I'm excited.
Too. Y'all got me all.
I'm like, I know her. I interviewed her.
In here. Oh man. And of course, I mean, you let folks know about what you have coming up, but you have to let people know where they can find you. This is shameless plug time. So, I mean, anything that you have going on, anybody that you want to let us know about that we don't know about that our audience should know about, you can plug anything. Make sure you drop your Instagram.
Of course, you told us about your mom. You know, you can shout out your brother.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. My mom, my brother, those are, we call ourselves the tripod. Like, we're like
three
of us.
Three legs.
Yeah, yep. They're my foundation, man, for real. Like, I'm like, if I can make God proud and them proud, I'm good.
Did your job.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm on all social media, Janet Parker 86. Hit me up. If you're a brand, you know, you need a curvy model, let me know.
Excellent.
And then, we can watch you every day.
Yes.
Queen City News. Turn on Queen City News if you're in the Charlotte area. Please, please. You can also go to qcnews.com if you're not in the market. Mm-hmm. Do 11 hours of news. Most local news. We do the most local news out of North Carolina and South Carolina.
That's not a lie.
11 hours of news every single.
I know I have a quick question. Ooh. What has been the most major, I guess, story that you've talked about, the biggest story that you've ever come across?
I would say the most impactful story that I had an opportunity to be a part of was field anchoring the day the Confederate flag came down at the State House grounds in Columbia.
That was major.
That was a major day. Yeah, and I think it's very ironic that that was like one of the hottest days in Columbia.
No.
And I was like, if this ain't some symbolism, I don't know what it is.
It was so much emotion.
It was sweltering that day, but that was a powerful day to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely necessary.
Was going down in history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
No problem.
And so, I guess, man, it's time to close out, man.
Yeah.
Man, for everybody at the Hilltop Club podcast, our audience members, those who are in the building with us today, we got some folks outside, so they were looking at the baseball
watching
game.
The game.
Yeah, man, we want to thank you for joining us on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. Of course, I always like to tell everybody, please tell somebody next to them that you love them, that you care about them, and cherish them. And for Skip, Tamaya, DJ and Wet, and our esteemed guest, Janet Parker, we appreciate y'all. And we will see you on the next episode of Hilltop Glow Podcast. Peace.
The Hilltop Glow Podcast.
That's it for today's episode of the Hilltop Glove Podcast.
Make sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and other platforms.
Also follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Hilltop Glove.